What a great joy it is to be on the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus from the station KRAJ 100.9 FM in the Antelope Valley, Melvin Slade, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Sunday after Sunday. And I'm glad to be on the program representing not only myself, but representing my church, the Livingstone Cathedral of Worship, Pastor Rivers, our pastor. And the services there is at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. So we're glad to represent ourselves and represent our church and represent myself and represent most of all our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just recently, Valentine just passed, as you know, this past week. And my daughter, Angela, who is going to bring the word to you tonight, or today rather, for that matter, and she spoke at the Antelope Valley Christian Center, Pastor Tom Pickin, and she brought a word, Lord have mercy. And it was so good that I just thought that even though this is after Valentine's Day, that it would be a blessing to your heart to hear what the Lord spoke to her from the subject, love that sees. And you're going to be blessed this morning. But listen, I'm a little bit jealous, even though that's my daughter. I'm a little bit jealous, so don't y'all put in too many callbacks saying how good she is. No, I'm just messing with you. You're going to be blessed. There's no question about it, and we're thankful to the Lord for it. So let's pray, and I'm going to have Angela to speak to you today concerning a love that sees. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to be on the radio with Brother Melvin Slade,
yes, Lord,
who is also a member of our church here, and we thank you for it.
Thank
you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of the kingdom. And I ask you to bless Angela as she speaks to us this morning.
Please, God.
From that very subject.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Angela, however the Lord speaks to you to speak to us concerning that subject, you on.
Amen. Well, first, I want to give honor to the Lord, who is the head of my life. Thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity to share your word, and I'm just grateful. And then I want to definitely give honor and respect to you, my dad. For the radio audience, you've not heard me before, but I call him my papa because that's who he is to me, okay? And I have to say this. Anything that I am that is good, God did it. And he used my father to help cultivate me into who I am today. So I'm just honored and just thrilled to be here with you all, as they say, in radio land, okay? Thank you, Brother Slate, for this opportunity as well. And a happy belated Valentine's to all who are listening. The Lord had been dealing with me with Abraham and Sarah for some time, and I didn't necessarily know why until the invitation came to speak for a singles function at Antelope Valley Christian Center. And my goodness, all of a sudden, it started coming to me part of why the Lord gave me that message. And we all know about Abraham and Sarah and how he is the father of faith and the father of many nations and great things. But there was a third party involved in the Abraham and Sarah story.
Amen.
And that third party is Hagar. So I want to tell you all a little bit about Hagar, because in her story is such a message of love that I'm just praying that you will walk away comforted and captivated by the love of our God, okay? So a little bit about Hagar. We don't know much about her. Other than she was Egyptian, okay? She was a single Egyptian woman. Now, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the look or the appearance or characteristics of Egyptian women. But a very good friend of mine, Daddy, you know Tina Robinson.
I do.
Beautiful woman. She's Egyptian. Beautiful feature, exotic eyes and olive-colored skin and, you know, flowing hair and all of these beautiful things. So Hagar had it going on. Mm-hmm. That's my take anyhow. So she was a beautiful, single Egyptian woman who came in contact with Abraham and Sarah because they left their land to escape a famine. Okay. So they came in contact with her and asked her to be a maidservant to Sarah. Now, here's one thing about it. You know, sometimes we think that being a maidservant, a.k.a. a slave, because that's really what it was.
That's what it was.
Okay. But back in that region, in the Middle East, and during those times, a maidservant had to have a good character. They had to be noble. They had to be honest. They had to be trustworthy. Okay. So on top of Hagar being attractive, she was also a noble person. She was also a person who could be trusted. So you think to yourself, wow, this woman with looks and nobility and character, why is she now consenting to be a slave? I want you to think about that for a moment. So, let's keep the story moving. Move with me, move with me, move with me. Okay. So she consented to give up all her rights as a free, beautiful, single woman to come with this husband and wife to be a slave for all intents and purposes. So she makes the trek with them. And it seemed that all was well. However, she didn't know what God had promised Abraham over 10 years ago, before they ever met. She was unaware of what God had promised. Mm-hmm. She didn't know what Sarah knew. Because I have a feeling, you all, that had she known that God had promised them a son, then she might not have consented to what they were going to ask her to do. Mm-hmm. Sarah, a woman of God, who was also a beautiful woman, the word says, got a little impatient. And God was just taking a little too long to come up with this promise that he made her husband and made to her. So Sarah, in her finite wisdom, said, I'm going to help God out, you see. I'm going to make sure God's promise comes to pass. Now, look, put a pin in it and ask yourself, how many times have we said, I'm going to help God out? I'm going to help God's promise come true in my life. Does that make sense to you?
Not much.
Not much, does it? Doesn't make sense to me, but have been guilty.
Yes.
I have. I'm just confessing to my brothers here, my father and Brother Slade and before God and to you all as well. But I'm hoping that this will provoke you to think twice before you want to help God out. So, yes. So here we go on this journey. Her master, Sarah, says, okay, Missy, I need you to sleep with my 85-year-old husband and produce a son. Now, see, not everyone is as handsome as my father, who is 83 years young. Not everyone is as handsome as he. In fact, he gets mistaken for my husband. I'm like, what y'all trying to say? Old enough to be married to an 83-year-old? Or does he look young enough to be with a 40-something-year-old? I'll take the latter. Yeah. Okay. I digress. So she's asked to have relations with this 85-year-old man to produce a child. And she had no rights. Remember, before she left Egypt, she forsook all of her rights. And she had to do this. She didn't have a choice. And all was well until Sarah saw that her 85-year-old husband still had it and produced a child. Isn't that funny? Now, this was her idea. Now, her idea.
Yeah.
Not God's, not Abraham's. Her idea. And the moment she saw the baby bump, as they call it now, the Word of God says she despised her. So good old Hagar, the beautiful woman, the young woman that was full of promise, is now stuck in a situation too far from home, really, and now with child. And the despair and the despondency that she felt, she ran away because she couldn't handle the looks and the glares of her master. God said, no, no. He sent an angel and said, no, you're not going to do that. You got to go back and have this child. But I'm going to tell you this. His name shall be Ishmael. And what that translates to is God hears. How many of you know that even in the midst of a mistake, even in the midst of hot water that is boiling, even in the midst of thorns and thistles, God hears?
Yes, he does.
He hears. And he cares. And so, she goes back, gives birth to Ishmael. And Ishmael grew to pre-adolescence, I believe. And Ishmael, what was also foretold is that he was going to be a wild man. That he was going to be buck wild. And that it was just, he was going to do his own thing. So, in any case, he started showing signs of that when he began to mock Isaac and tease him and things of that nature. So Sarah, you know, was already ticked off because she had to be reminded of her mistake day in and day out. So finally she couldn't take anymore and she told Abraham, get rid of her. I don't want to see her. Get rid of her son. I'm done. Abraham, broken in spirit and in heart, was encouraged by the Lord God to go ahead and do what your wife says, because I'm going to take care of Ishmael for your sake. Isn't that something? That we serve a God who is true to his covenant. And because of what he promised, Abraham said, I'm going to take care of your son, and I'm going to take care of her too. So just go ahead and do it. Because he was already going, he was already going to meet Hagar in the desert. See, we didn't know that. Hagar didn't know it. Abraham didn't know. But God said, I'm going to meet her in that dry place. So send her on her way. Ah, God. Thank you, Lord. So Abraham thought he was doing something by giving her a wineskin full of water and gave her some bread and sent her on her way with her teenage son. And the trick began. And the Word of God says that it was so dry and so hot and they had run out of water. And we all know we can do without RC Cola, Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper. We can do without alcoholic beverages and orange juice and anything else we could name, but we cannot do without water. They were depleted. Water was gone. Wineskin empty. And Hagar said, my son's gonna die. And the Word of God says that she placed him under a bush and moved some space away because she couldn't bear to see her son die. My God. But then God sent a message once again and opened her eyes and allowed her to see the well with water in it. She said, my God, you are the God who sees me. You are the God who sees me. Elroi, the God who sees me. And as the story goes, she filled up the wineskin. Her son was revived and they made the trip and he grew to be an adult. And he went on to have 12 sons. And they went on and lived wildly ever after. So I want to say to you this morning, as you listen to this broadcast, you may be in a desert place yourself. You may be in a place and ask, how on earth did I ever get here? I was meant for more than this. How did this happen to me? And you might be asking yourself, and you might be beating yourself up, and all types of things that we commonly do when we are faced with entanglement that we have caused, or sometimes just walked into it. And I want to put this out there too. See, sometimes we put so much trust in the church leadership that we just kind of blindly go and say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And because they asked me, and because this is the pastor, or this is the pastor's wife, or this is the head deacon, or this is the head so-and-so and so-and-so, that we think, okay, I'm just going to do it. But I want to say to you today, pray about whatever you do before you agree to anything.
Amen.
Because God had already spoken to them. But Sarah was disobedient, and so was Abraham, much like their forefather, Adam and Eve, who went with the serpent, ate of the fruit, and it was never the same until the second Adam. How about that? Glory to God. So some things we can't avoid, y'all. Some things my bishop says, I remember years ago, and he illustrated it because he's a very descriptive teacher, preacher. And I remember him saying that some things we just have to go through, and he was trying to avoid, as he was walking in the pulpit, as if he were trying to avoid the thorns and the briar patch, and he was trying to walk around it. But what he was saying is, sometimes you just got to get cut. Sometimes you just got to bleed. And we try so hard and we try so desperately to avoid it. But what God wants you to know is that he is the God who sees you.
Amen.
In the midst of your desert, while you are bleeding, while you are cut, while you are hurting, while you are grieving, whatever it is that you are going through, he is the God who sees you right there. And he is right there in it with you. Be encouraged, my brothers and my sisters. He loves you with an everlasting love. And what that means is, everlasting means it's time out of mind. In other words, we can't even put our hands, we can't wrap our hands around it, we can't wrap our minds around it, because his love is just too big, it's all encompassing. And we will never outlive it,
never.
My God.
No way.
So like Hagar, be you a man or a woman, God sees you, he loves you, and he cares. Be encouraged on this day. And know that there is help on the way. Amen. God bless you. And we love you in Jesus' name.
Why don't we take a moment and just pray on behalf of whoever's listening with us today. Father, we thank you so much that you are the God who sees.
Yes, Lord.
You see a raggedy monkey like me.
My God.
Yes, who Lord, so often too. Get just short patient, but you see me and you know what to do with me. And I Hallelujah. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for the word that you put in Angela this morning that she has shared with us. And thank you for the privilege of just letting everybody know that God is still on his throne.
Yes, Lord.
So
Hallelujah.
Don't worry about what it looks
Glory
like. Don't worry
God.
About what it feels like.
Glory.
Don't worry about what it smells like.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's on the throne.
Yes, Lord.
And he sees who you are.
Yes, God.
I just ask you, Lord, to just bless us and keep us in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.